superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
For the onside kick, Zuerlein dribbles it to the left, hadn't gone 10 yards.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Atlanta just let it roll and roll, and it went 10, and the Cowboys have the football.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Touchdown, Kyler Murray.
Chris Carson in the end zone, he's got it! Touchdown, Seahawks!
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, two-time Super Bowl champion Eli Manning, Pro Football Hall of Famer Michael Irvin, plus from NBC Sports, Mike Tirico. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, dead solid. Perfect way to start this week and to start this show right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We are live from Los Angeles, California, and we've got ourselves a great three-hour show here for you. We couldn't be more pleased. That you hopefully enjoyed one of the best sports weekends we've been thankfully able to have in quite some time. We saw over the weekend some great football action, obviously. On Sunday, we saw a Stanley Cup get underway. Congrats to Dallas for getting off on the right start right there. We saw a buzzer beater last night in the Western Conference Finals that everyone is buzzing about, certainly here in Los Angeles. We saw a U.S. Open won by a 27-year-old Mad Bomber, who basically says, let's just damn the torpedoes, but he also has some pretty damn good touch around and on the greens. Bryson DeChambeau is the winner of the United States Open, as everybody saw on NBC Sports. And we also had, obviously, the Boston Celtics making an Eastern Conference Finals out of it. We saw NASCAR playoffs. We saw college football. It damn near felt... dare I say normal?
You can dare to say that,
right?
Sir,
except for the fact that the U.S. Open was being played, during week two of an NFL season, and all of that stuff. And no fans. But good to see you this morning, Chris Brock.
Hey, bud,
good
what's happening, man?
How are you?
How you doing?
You're right. Mike Del
good
Tufo.
To see you, Rich.
Yeah, T.J. Jefferson is sitting in his spot. Rich Eisen Show social media grand maester. His Dallas Cowboys pull one out of their Metroplex yesterday.
Say that again.
And we will be discussing that later on in this first segment prior to getting to Eli Manning. He's going to be first up here on this program. Eli Manning will be here.
Yes.
Also on this program, Steve Keim, the Arizona Cardinals general manager, who's put together a team that started 2-0 and whose young quarterback sure looks like an MVP candidate.
Looks top three to me.
And the Arizona Cardinals are 2-0. Three 2-0 teams in the NFC West. Michael Irvin, Pro Football Hall of Famer. I called him yesterday 5 minutes after the Cowboys pulled one out of their Metroplex, and I said to him, would you like to come on the show? He started laughing. Can't wait. And, of course, Mike Tirico, part of that double dip at Wingfoot yesterday, and then the host of Football Night in America on Sunday Night Football on NBC. Our buddy Mike Tirico will be joining us, and that's where I want to start. Oh, man, was that just an absolutely fantastic finish to Week 2. Now, there's lots of aftermath to Week 2, and we'll get to that in a moment. We'll keep an eye on all the injury reports coming out today of all the great players that got hurt and banged up on Sunday. Unfortunately, some of them, for my fantasy team in the New York Giants, Saquon being one of them.
Bummer, man.
So, look, when Seattle and New England play each other, it's phenomenal. We all know that. They make some memorable games. Nothing more than Super Bowl 49, as we know, in the home of the Arizona Cardinals. And who knew? Who knew that Russ would cook to the tune of 5 touchdown passes to 5 different receivers last night? And if we had told you that going into the game, it would have been a wrap. Regardless of the fact that there are no 12s there, it's still significant. The New England Patriots were the first team in 2020 in this pandemic to go from the East Coast and travel all the way to the West Coast. We've had some, obviously, the Cowboys visited the Rams. The Cardinals only had to go up to San Francisco, to Santa Clara. That's it. Chargers started on the East Coast. I mean, in terms of West Coast games that we've seen in this pandemic, the Patriots were the first team to have to go east all the way to the Pacific Northwest. That is a significant amount of travel in the pandemic. I don't care that there were no fans there. If I told you 5 touchdown passes from Russ, he's cooking like that, and that DK Metcalf would beat the defending defensive player of the year on a 50-yard pass in the air.
Dang.
That Stephon Gilmore was draped all over the guy who Daniel Jeremiah described as a human in a bat suit.
Yeah, that was pretty good coverage.
At his combine, DK Metcalf. If I told you that, you'd have said this is not going to be a game. Certainly since Cam didn't throw very much against Miami, he just ran a couple in. But Seattle apparently will never run the ball when all they need is 1 or 2 yards to finish off New England. They just I just think they just will not do it. Okay, Darrell Bevell is tucked in Michigan now. He's nowhere near Seattle. He's in Detroit. 3rd and 1. All you got to do is get a first down, and then Belichick's going to have to start burning timeouts. When have we heard this before? And Russ overcooked, went up top, tried to get the big bomb on 3rd and 1. Oh my gosh! Patriots get the ball back, and I got to tell you, Christopher, I came into the season saying this AFC East was the Bills to lose. I still believe it. Certainly the way that Josh Allen is cooking himself so far.
They played the Jets and the Dolphins.
No, look. No. you could say that all you want. I still believe, as I said last year, when you said the same thing about Lamar Jackson doing that against Miami and that let's see what he can do against everyone else, that you could still take out of beating lesser opponents the fact that you're supposed to do it and you do it. And we'll see what Miami is as we matriculate. Okay? They still have a very good coach, as you know, and they also have some pretty damn good players. So I'm not ready to say, well, who is Buffalo beaten yet? Because the Patriots, as I'm about to say, still they beat the same Dolphins. So, I, however, seeing Cam over these 2 games, including the fact that Brady's gone, and part of the reason why I thought the Patriots were not going to win this division has nothing to do with Cam. As you know, we were very high on Cam the minute that the Carolina Panthers decided to move in a different direction. Is that the sense always was with New England, if you gave them one small bit of an opening with the game on the line, okay? If you take one small inch, give it to New England, it's going to be a yard. And that yard is going to be Tom Brady sticking it where the sun don't shine against you. And that Brady's now gone. How will they be able to do that? Last night, they threw Seattle, instead of running, gave New England the opportunity to win the game. And Cam damn near did it, just like Brady would have done. That's what I'm thinking. He's moving the ball right down the field. He's finding Edelman to the tune of 179 yards, the most Edelman's ever gotten in his career. Two games in, one road game in, and Edelman is flashing in terms of yardage in a manner that we never saw before. Okay? 397 yards passing for Cam Newton last night. And yeah, we could talk about the play call. I thought it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, me too.
You can't stop Cam at that, but Seattle overloaded the edge and wish you bounced it outside, right?
I don't think it would have mattered.
I don't know, but all I do know is this. Patriots aren't used to moral victories.
Yeah, but this was one.
Damn straight. Your team is going to be just fine. My only concern for you after watching last night is that your GOAT coach is wearing his mask like it's a feed bag.
I think he wore it upside down.
I don't know what's going on.
It was really weird.
At one point, you're looking at it. It's like a feed bag over his mouth, not covering his nose. Yeah. Next thing you're seeing, it's covering his nose, but only barely below his lower lip. It looked like a beak, like he's going to an Eyes Wide Shut situation.
Well done.
Like there's a lot of stuff, like Fidelio.
Fidelio.
I have no idea what's going on. I'd be just concerned about that. Yeah. That's it.
Totally.
All right.
Because wish we had a couple of those defenders who opted out.
No,
too.
I know that. But that's another point, too.
Yeah.
Six guys go. The NBC showed that, Fred Godelli and his staff, phenomenal, producing Sunday Night Football. Well, they had six guys who were over 500 snaps on defense.
Yeah, I mean, two of the best
from
defenders
last year.
Yeah, Patrick Chung and Dante Hightower.
Right. King came on and basically said, hey, the linebacking group is is the spine of the Belichick defense.
They're all new.
and Russ did cook, all right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I think we're going to find we'll have no problem
cooking
against everybody.
Season.
And by October, he should have his own cooking show. I mean, like, that's got to happen.
Cooking with
him
Russ.
Him and his wife will be, how does that not happen? So that was my takeaway last night, that Russell Wilson is, in fact, 2 weeks in an MVP candidate, as we all thought. That Seattle, to me, was the winner of the NFC West. There are two other 2-0 teams in division, including your Los Angeles Rams. I mean, they're playing so well
amazing.
If fans were allowed in the stadium, both of you might actually consider not selling your tickets.
No, I go.
Okay. And then, you got the Arizona Cardinals and then the at 2-0, looking very good.
Yeah.
And then the 49ers, who are thoroughly wiped out due to injury right now. But it's still early. And they next take on the Giants, who just during my conversing with you about Seattle and watching Cam perform the way that he is, it was announced that the MRI confirmed a torn ACL. The Giants just tweeted this out at the top of our show. Surgery.
Bummer,
and that will wrap it up for Saquon. And he's such a good kid.
Yeah.
And he has erased all of his posts on Instagram except a post about Kobe Bryant. I think that is specific. I don't think it's because Anthony Davis made that three-pointer to beat the Nuggets with no time left in the bubble last night and mouthed the words Kobe. Did you see that, by the way?
I did.
Okay. I don't think it's that. I think he is using the Mamba mentality and what Kobe did with his Achilles to inspire himself. That's the way I would interpret this social media play. And as we know, we always read into what's going on social media these days. But that literally just happened. And I can't believe it's happened to him. And obviously, this was supposed to be a big season for Danny Dimes and his maturation and Joe Judge and his first tenure as a coach in this league for the Giants. And to the Giants' credit, they almost won that game in Chicago yesterday, which is more than you could say about the Jets.
Be careful.
I will not go down a Jet wormhole here. I won't do it. We still have 3 hours to go here. But there's that news. And the man who Daniel Jones supplanted, a Giant legend, Eli Manning, will be joining us in about 7 minutes' time. More than enough time for me to get in my thoughts about the Dallas Cowboys and the Atlanta Falcons. Now, all these injuries that we've seen in week two could be a testament to the fact that there were no preseason games. There were no, there was no contact. I don't know. Maybe this would have happened, should have happened in week one if you really want to connect the two dots of no preseason and a rash of injuries that we saw yesterday. Maybe it should happen in week one if you want to connect that. The one thing you can absolutely connect to the fact that there's no preseason, I think, are some special teams gaffes, to say the least. We saw one in week one where the Bucs just let a kickoff drop in New Orleans, which led to an extra possession for the Saints and eventually a loss for Tampa, which, by the way, they have begun to dig out of the hole with Leonard Fournette flashing now. And he's our first guest tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, fantastic.
This just in.
That's my guy.
So, special teams gaffes. We will go the rest of this year. If you had to put on the top five list, if you want to create a top five list of the 2020 season, of the damnedest things we will see all season long.
Okay.
Damnedest things we will see all season long. You will have to put the Atlanta Falcons watching an onside kick that is kicked by Greg Zuerlein, the kicker, not using a tee. As a matter of fact, just placing the ball flat for an oblong object, flat on the ground, and then kicking one side of it to make it whirl around like it's a drone flying above.
Or ride at Disneyland.
Right, okay, like a, right, like the scrambler.
The scrambler.
Right?
Teacups.
And it starts whirling around, and it takes forever to go 5 yards, and then once it hits 5 yards, it like hits another gear and goes straight up for the other 5 yards to give it the 10 yards it needs to travel. Now, the only issue is, and maybe this is why the Falcons players on the hands team was staring at the football, because it's really weird to see for a ball to be kicked that way and then travel so far laterally, but not depth-wise, only to have it suddenly turn upfield and get really deep really fast. Like, it's really weird to see. It's actually kind of, you know, maybe cool to see. Because I don't know any other reason why anyone on a hands team would let a ball travel 10 yards and take so long to do it when you, as the hands team, have the right to jump on that football whenever you damn please. You don't have to wait for it to travel 10 yards when you're receiving it. When you're kicking it, it has to go that long. It's the damnedest thing you will ever see. The way the ball is kicked, the way the ball travels, and then the way the Falcons just don't take one or two opportunities. When you watch the video again, there's a couple of guys who are just hovering around the ball like they're warming their hands over a campfire, when they could just jump on it at any point. And that's the way the Cowboys recovered only the 11th onside kick under the new rules, where you're not allowed to run up to the line of kicking. You have to start flat-footed. There have been 111 kicks onsides since they changed the rule. Only 11 have been recovered. And that's the way the Falcons blew another one. So you've got not one, but two famed Super Bowl mind-blowing moments of the last decade replayed yesterday for one team in Seattle not running it when they should have and threw it when they shouldn't have, allowing New England to get back in a game that they were toast in. Fortunately for Seattle, though, they won it. Atlanta going to the state of Texas, having a huge lead and blowing it and losing it like they did in Houston to New England. That happened in Dallas yesterday, and Dallas staring 0-2 in the face right there with everybody flipping out in the Metroplex.
And at home.
And at home. And that's the way Dallas improves to 1-1, and Michael Irvin will come on and crow like they're 2-0, and that's just going to be a great conversation in the middle of this show.
Get your damn act together.
Thank you, sir. Let's be on time for Eli. We will take a break and be back with the legendary quarterback of the New York Football Giants and you at 844-204-RICH. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. I'll tell you what, folks, you cannot do without NFL Game Pass and be a football fan. It makes it so much better. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Okay, back here on Peacock, NBC SN will be rejoining us in less than 90 seconds, and that's when we'll welcome Eli Manning in. There is some news in regards to Christian McCaffrey. Ian Rappaport just tweeted it out. The high ankle sprain that he suffered, not before scoring a touchdown to help crush my fantasy team that lost Saquon Barkley yesterday, but the high ankle sprain that he suffered on that run, it seems, that he ran in?
Yes, 4 to 6 weeks for a Christian
four to
McCaffrey.
6 weeks after an MRI reveal.
I'll run down all the injuries later, but okay. There is a lot.
Well, maybe we'll do that after. I know we want to do overreaction Monday as well, but there is a ton yesterday. And then there's our poll question. Now that there's a handful of 0-2 teams, including the Philadelphia Eagles and the Texans, they're 0-2. These are division winners from last year. Now, there's a seventh seed in the playoffs, so we're sitting here and saying, well, 0-2, that's tough. One thing I think I might actually spend my time on tonight, or lean on NFL Network research, is to look up teams that started 0-2 that would have finished seventh.
Well, that's not
during
the
30-year history of the previous playoff format. But 0-2 right now, you got to figure, is going to be pretty brutal. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. My colleague at the NFL Media Group, Ian Rappaport, says that Christian McCaffrey's MRI of his ankle reveals the dreaded high ankle sprain. 4 to 6 weeks he is out. A month to a month and a half for a Carolina team that decided to move in a different direction from Cam Newton, only to watch Cam do what he did last night on Sunday Night Football. Mike Tirico, the host of Football Night in America, is joining us in Hour 3. But joining me right here on the Rich Eisen Show is a man who I mentioned about a Super Bowl in Houston. This is where I met him. I met him in Houston. I think, Chris, I've told you the story about meeting this guy, right? Eli Manning, I've told
Absolutely.
You the story. He will definitely remember. I know this for a fact because that was the night his dad made me an unofficial fourth Manning. That happened, okay? And he's here on behalf of Yahoo Sports. He is Eli Manning. How are you, Eli?
I'm doing great, Rich. How are you?
You remember that night, right, Eli?
We're brothers. Should I call you brother now? Should I call you brother?
Well, I don't know if I'm breaking you any news to you, but when your dad texts me, he does refer to me as son. That's a fact. That happens whenever he texts me. So there's that.
You're welcome. You're welcome, you know.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome to any family gatherings. We can't have any now, but so
no,
kind of wider.
Is that why? Is that, so when there's a Zoom, you know, send me the link. You know, I'll hop on.
I will. Okay. I will, 100%.
How are you doing? What's going on with you, Eli?
I'm doing well. Just kind of, you know, getting used to this retirement thing and you know, finding out my routine and how to spend my days. And it's kind of just one thing a day, you know. Like today I was talking with you on the phone.
Okay.
Tomorrow, dentist. Okay. Next day, I haven't decided yet. I still got some time to figure out what my one thing to accomplish on Wednesday is going to be.
Okay, so it's a cleaning tomorrow, Eli? Cleaning? We go, we're looking, what do we got tomorrow? We got just x-rays?
Just a cleaning.
Okay,
just kind of a,
standard?
Just a checkup. Hopefully nothing serious. I missed the last one because of COVID and everything.
Okay.
And so I'm a little behind. So I got to just get back in there and hopefully just a cleaning.
Okay, good. Because I was going to basically say then at least this interview is not about pulling teeth. So, you know, at least there's nothing to equate those two things together. You know, it's just going to be straight up me chatting with you. I mean, but it has to be interesting to you to wake up on a Monday and not feel any aches and pains, right? I mean, that's got to be a nice improvement.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, that's kind of the difference. And you know, this is it's new to me watching the Giants as a fan. You know, I didn't grow up watching the Giants as a fan. And for the last 16 years,
right,
I was playing. I never sat there and watched the Giants play on TV. And so it's new. And you find yourself. I'm still rooting for them. I'm rooting for them hard because I have, great friends on that team still, and Sterling Shepard and Evan Engram and Saquon and Daniel Jones and, the Mara family, the Tisch family, and they're close friends. And, I feel for them when they have these losses and I'm going through it and I want them to win. Yet, on Monday morning, physically I feel a lot better and mentally it's not as draining. I'm not dreading the week. I'm not dreading going into a meeting and, thinking about this terrible throw I made and not having to deal with the losses. The losses, got tougher and tougher to deal with and to overcome. And so I just got tired of it. And, so it's been, I was ready to be done playing in February when I retired and I knew I was done playing football and I still have those same feelings. I mean, I'm happy where I am. Sitting on the couch and watching these games on Sunday.
No, I know, Eli. I mean, and you're watching, Phillip is now in Indianapolis. Big Ben, the other quarterback with whom you are associated because of your draft class, is performing what he's doing in Pittsburgh right now. Is there any part of you that does say, you know what, if circumstances could have been X, Y, and Z, I'd love to still be out there right now?
No, I think I was done. I had my run. I had my time. I enjoyed it. I have such, great memories. And that's the great thing about, football and 16 years is that, when I think about the time, I think about the positive stuff. I think about, the celebrations in the locker room, the plane ride homes, the training camps with my buddies, the locker room. Celebrating, wins in the stadium with crowds and the energy. And, that's what I feel. But, on Monday mornings when I wake up, and the Giants, kind of today after a loss, I'm also grateful I'm not going into the facility today and having that plane ride home, from Chicago last night after a loss. Those things, can wear on you. And I see Big Ben playing and they're winning. I see, Phil changing teams and going to a new organization, which I would have had to done last year, this year if I wanted to play. And, I'm good where I am. I made that decision in February. I'm not going to look back. I'm not going to second guess. I wasn't working out for football and hoping, thinking there may be a comeback if someone called. I'd had enough and grateful for my time, but looking forward to this new way of life.
Eli Manning here on the Rich Eisen Show, courtesy of Yahoo, which we'll get to in a second. And I don't know, you might be on a tour of some sort calling around. I don't know if you heard, but Saquon Barkley, it is official, did in fact suffer an ACL injury in Chicago yesterday. He is done for the year. You saw what he went through last year with his ankle. I just want to give me your thoughts on such a difficult piece of news to hear about Saquon, Eli.
Yeah, it's just, that's tough. And I feel for Saquon individually as the person. And injuries in this game are tough. And running backs, to have a knee injury, I know, he's going to do everything it takes to rehab and get back. But just to have a a season lost is tough to swallow. So, you know, I feel for him as a person. You know, just having to go through that. I know he's worked hard and done everything to try to have a big year, and so you know, my thoughts and prayers are with him, and I'll reach out to him later on. But you know, that's just unfortunately, that's a little bit of the game of football, and now the team's going to have to rally, and they're going to be devastated a little bit because he's a captain and a leader and supposed to be kind of carrying this team on his back a little bit, and other guys are going to have to step up, and you know, that's just, you know, the way football goes, and guys, you know, teams have to rally and you know, make some adjustments and get back and you know, play better and start winning some football games.
Yeah, they almost pulled it out yesterday. I mean, that was impressive to me. You know, they all, because they had to know. They had to. I'm just seeing his reaction carted off. They had to know this was most likely it from that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think they did. They rallied, had a, you know, couple of nice drives there in the fourth quarter. I was, you know, watching it with my daughter. We were celebrating. We saw the flag thrown on the last play. We were thinking it was defensive pass interference, and we're getting excited. And they, you know, saw the call as offensive. So, you know, tough to swallow that one where you're, you know, you're fighting and making a little rally and just come up a little bit short. And then, you know, probably know that you're, you know, your star player's injured and not looking good for the outcome of that. But, you know, I think, you know, the only thing that heals this is victories. And the only thing that can help kind of get past it and start moving forward is to get back on the practice field, have great weeks of preparation and go compete and see if you can get a win, and that can solve a lot of issues and solve a lot of problems and give you some relief for a little bit.
Eli Manning here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tell me about the Yahoo Sports mobile app that you're talking about right here. Eli, what do you got for me on this front?
Yeah, it's a new feature. It's a new feature, Rich. It'd be good for us. It's called Watch Together.
Okay.
And it basically enables NFL fans to video chat on their phone with friends while watching live football games, and you can watch the live local or the primetime games, and you just download the Yahoo Sports app, and you get to invite three friends to watch the game together. And so, you know, I think, you know, kind of when you have this time where most stadiums are having no fans or some have limited fans, if you're used to going to the games and having that experience of celebrating and watching the games with your family or with your friends, and now you can't do that. You can't have these gatherings, and this is a way for you to kind of create that experience. And, you know, if you have your, you know, if you have your buddies that, you know, go to the game, now you can still, you know, get the Yahoo Sports app. It's free. You get to watch the games for free and get to invite them. And so you still get to cheer the touchdowns and celebrate the victories, and you're not just on the couch doing it, you know, by yourself. You're with your buddies or with your family who you're used to watching these games with. So I think a pretty natural selection, you know, would be my brothers, Peyton, Cooper, and Rich Eisen. you know, us watching the game on a Sunday, you know, and together would be ideal.
I think so too. I agree. Sorry, Arch. That's the four right there. You. Peyton, Cupper, and me. I mean, so now, when was the last time you did watch a football game with Peyton? Just you and him. When was the last time that happened, Eli?
You know, I was thinking about that earlier. Yeah. Just kind of, when's the last time, you know, it would have been like, you know, my brothers, Peyton, Coop, and my dad, you know, sitting at home watching a football game. I think it's got to be 30 years ago, at least. I can't think of a time where we would have been together. We've been at some Super Bowls together, you know, but Peyton was playing or I was playing.
Right.
And, you know, I think, you know, it goes back to probably when you know, Coop and Peyton were in high school at some point, and I was 10 years old and watching, you know, watching the Saints game or watching a Sunday night game or something on the couch. And, you know, it's been a long time,
yep.
And so, you know, this kind of gives us that opportunity to do that again. I don't know who we're going to watch, though. I was, I kind of want to watch the Giants. You know, Peyton's going to watch the Colts or the Broncos. Kubi, you know, he wants to watch Canadian football, I think. And, you know, my dad probably wants to watch the Saints. So,
right.
You know, it'd be hard to kind of figure out who to – which game to watch or how we kind of get that situated.
I know. Well, again, if it's something that you haven't done with your brothers in so long, why wouldn't you want me involved in this, Eli? You know, like, why wouldn't you want me there to
I know.
Just be part of that warm and fuzzy family moment? When you see the video of you throwing to Tyree, okay, what do you think of when you see that? Whenever you sit down and see it, what do you see?
I just smile. I'm just thankful for David Tyree, man. Mm-hmm. There's not a better person and a guy who just, you know, who had the worst week of practice in the history of all practices on that Friday and dropped every pass and, you know, thought he was going to be the starting receiver. And then Flexco, you know, comes back and plays that game. And then sure enough, in the game, David Tyree has a touchdown catch. And then makes the catch, you know, with Rodney Harrison hanging all over him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bob Poppa giving the call saying, you know, he's got a wide open receiver, you know, and I guess that's wide open in the NFL. And, you know, David Tyree, just the will, desire was there and just catching it off the helmet. Just what an unbelievable story. Never get tired of watching that play.
All right, well, Chris Brockman, my on-air compadre here. What do you tell him? Go ahead, tell him what you say every time. Now that he's here, you can say it to his face. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, usually I say it to Sean O'Hara because Sean is here. But,
right.
I mean, there were 14 different holdings on that play.
He sees
play,
holding.
Which is fine.
Eli, what do you say to that?
He says holding.
Yeah, he sees holding.
I didn't see it. How can you have holdings? They didn't block anybody. I'm just like, all right.
You know,
let them run in. You know, almost get sacked by all four players. You know, they kind of just blocked them off. You know, I think, you know, it's not really holding. If the guy's holding me, you know, like a defense player is holding me, I think you're allowed to do whatever you want
to the
pass rusher at that point. If I'm in the like grass, they can just grab them off though and pull them off. It's kind of it's kind of free range at that point.
I agree. You, Chris, you see holding. Eli sees grasping. That's what he sees.
I see the greatest play ever.
That's right. There's a giant.
I was right there, Eli. I was sitting right there.
I was there in the building.
That's it. All right, Eli, you take care of yourself, all right? Say hi to Dad. Say hi to your brothers. Say hi to everybody.
We'll do.
Okay. And I'll see
our brothers.
Yeah, I'll see our brothers. Yeah, say hi to our brothers. I'll see you at Thanksgiving, okay? We'll see you then.
I'll see you Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Look forward to it.
You got
all right,
it. Best to
great
you, Eli. You got it, man. That's Eli Manning. At Eli Manning on Twitter that he has joined. That's my bro.
Family, Rich.
That night in Houston, I was standing by in the Gatorade suite.
One night in Houston.
Might have been the night before the actual game because I didn't do any pregame. It was the first Super Bowl NFL Network ever covered. Patriots, Carolina Panthers. We did the whole week of NFL Total Access. We were 11 weeks old. I had no earthly idea what was going to happen. None. Zero. Yeah. Okay? None. No idea what was going to happen, and it started working out, and it worked out well, and I started to see some of my compatriots at ESPN try to steal some of our guests from our set.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had some great guests from George Poppy Bush to Bob McNair. May they both rest in peace. Dion, now the Jackson State head coach.
I love it.
Nance and everybody else from the CBS NFL Today.
We were pre-game set. This is back room.
This is before Nance called games.
Yeah.
I think Greg Gumbel called that game on CBS, that Super Bowl.
That was a good.
At any rate, all I'm saying is that there was tons of stuff. People were wondering, why the hell did I leave ESPN? And things were beginning to work out. Susie surprised me by coming in. I think she surprised me. I know she came in to hang out. But before she arrived, I was hanging out in the Gatorade suite one night. And it was after midnight. It was just me and my buddy Doug. We're hanging out there. In walked all of the Mannings, every last one of them, and we got a little bit more swing oil in us and sang karaoke. And I turned to Arch in a moment that perhaps was a little bit more hazy than needed to be. I turned to Archie. I'm like, look, I love my family. I love my dad. But can you make me a fourth Manning child? And he looks at me, he goes, I think I can.
He has that power.
And Archie Manning, whenever we text one another, sometimes he'll just text me out of the blue. He calls me son. What more can you do other than that?
Fantastic.
All right, overreaction Monday and all of the injury news. My gosh, involving some of the top players in the game. 844-204-RICH, your calls too.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com, GEICO.com. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take a phone call here in a second, and overreaction Monday, and some injury news as well. Eli Manning, man.
I mean, I love Eli.
Eli's a good dude.
Eli's a great dude.
Yeah.
A great dude. And, you know.
David Tyree went to Syracuse, so I'm not going to be totally.
No. That was a funny moment right there. And his best throw of his career was to a Michigan Wolverine and Mario Manningham. And the other Super Bowl win, we dropped that in. You know,
that's all right. Welker dropped the pass. It's like totally fine.
Just one quick thing I do want to say about Eli Manning is you never want to be the guy after the guy, right? You never want to be the guy after the guy. Okay. And so, you know, in New York City, what he did was truly remarkable. And well, back in a second here. On NBCSN, we're back right here, and look at that lineup on NBC Sports on Peacock every day. Certainly at this time of year, with the NFL being as terrific as it was over the weekend and also as dramatic as it was over the weekend, why wouldn't you want to watch that from beginning to end? It was great having Eli Manning here. And again, Eli Manning came in to New York City in just after the Torrey Yankees had gone through their run. I mean, he arrived in 2004. Jeter, Rivera, the Knicks were becoming a dumpster fire in the making anyway. But no, I'm serious. And the fact that Eli came in and post Jeter, post Rivera, to me, he's in terms of 20th century New York sports, 21st century New York sports athletes, he's at the top of the list. And it's going to be for the New York Giants a very long time. Daniel Jones has got a big shoes to fill.
Oh, yeah.
Big shoes to fill. Two Super Bowl rings at Brockman's expense.
One of them against the best team, I think, of the 21st century.
Of course. What an answer, too, by the way. Holding, what are you talking about?
I loved it.
They didn't block anybody, which might be more offensive to Sean O'Hara than holding. You saying that he was holding.
Right, right.
Exactly. What's worse, Brockman accusing him of holding.
You accusing the actual offensive lineman of holding on that play.
Right.
What's more offensive, that or his quarterback saying, holding, he didn't block anybody.
Pretty funny.
It's a great retort.
Pretty funny.
Okay, let's go to Overreaction Monday here on the Rich Eisen Show. Oh, pardon me. We do this every single Monday for those who might be new here. We do this every single post, most of the bulk of NFL action every single week on Monday here on the show.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, what's you got over
there? Okay, let's go to the AFC East. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen is a legit MVP candidate.
I don't think that's an overreaction at all. First guy since Tyrod Taylor to throw for 300 yards in week one, and then he goes 400 yards in week two. And they needed every last one of it against the Dolphins team that came back after a break where the game was delayed. And
lightning power outage.
And took the lead, and then the Bills came back. One of those that you go, you know, Chris, fans or not, down in Miami.
Weird things happen.
That's where Brady, weird things would happen with New England. Yeah. And the Bills came out with that W, and they're 2-0 in division, and they're 2-0 overall. And Stephon Diggs needed two games to show up like the Vikings. Stephon Diggs, boy, you think the Vikings miss Stephon Diggs right now? You think he'd be good in that Vikings
we'll
offense
get to
right
that
now?
In a second.
So no, Josh Allen absolutely is an MVP candidate right now. He might muscle out my MVP candidate, whose general manager's coming in hour number two.
Maybe.
What else?
All right, let's go to another 2-0 team. Sean McVay and the Rams are back.
They are.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, man. No. The mere fact that they don't have the Todd father back there in the backfield, and the fact that they don't have, you know, some supposed speed burner like, you know,
Brandon Cooks
to go deep. Do you know the second youngest team in the NFL coming into the 2020 season in terms of roster?
Are the Rams?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Les got them young. He got them young.
And they're paying everybody, too.
And again, Goff looks terrific in a way that Wentz doesn't.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if it's part of your overreaction, Monday.
It wasn't, but...
But Carson Wentz and the Eagles have something going on that is a big problem. He is regressing. Zach Ertz, whatever's going on with his contract might be affecting it. I don't know. But Wentz can't plant and make throws sometimes. In terms of Goff versus Wentz yesterday, that was a blowout, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And I follow Les Bowen on Twitter, and Les covers the Eagles for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And you want to know what's going on in Philadelphia right now? I don't know, but all I know is I'm reading a tweet from 23 minutes ago. He wrote, Doug, as in Peterson.
Yeah.
Doug's not feeling the Jalen Hurts questions today.
Well, Doug was asked, why is Carson Wentz regressing in year five? And he paused, took a sigh, and said, yeah, it's a good question.
Jalen Hurts was trending yesterday when he was active for the first time as a pro.
Active as a backup, yeah.
No touchdowns, two interceptions for Wentz. Goff, three touchdowns, no picks.
Dude was MVP 3 years ago.
All of them the Tyler Higbee. Okay, so, okay. And that kid Van Jefferson is looking pretty damn good, too. And McVay can coach him up. We're looking at the shiny object in Arizona with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. And last night, Russ is cooking. You know what else is? You're 2-0 Rams. Mm. Not an overreaction.
All right. You mentioned the Vikings before. They're in big trouble.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes. We haven't even unpacked our poll question today, which we'll do at the top of hour number two, or if there's enough time at the end of this segment. Oh, yes. We had a conversation last week. Which one would we rather mulligan? The Colts as the AFC South champs or the Vikings as the NFC North champs? I did not stutter, and I'm like, give me the Vikings right now. I'll take the Packers.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
And I don't think that's a knee-jerk overreaction at all. Kirk Cousins, a buck 13, three interceptions. Dalvin Cook is scoring garbage touchdowns in games that are already done.
Yeah.
Like he's hitting those solo shots down 8 in the ninth.
A-Rod style.
Right? Thielen is, you know, just stop him. Who else are you afraid of? And then defensively, they've got so many new faces. My word.
You like that?
Not at all. Not at all. I'm genuinely concerned for the Vikings. Who do they have next? The Vikings have the Tennessee Titans in their house, and the Titans are going to come and try and hit them in the mouth.
Yeah, that's going to be 30 carries there. Although Ryan Tannehill looks awesome.
Hey, man, everyone's like, hey, Titans should go for Brady. Don't stick with Tannehill. And they're just running it back. my Jaguars unluckiest lock. I mean, my unluckiest lock, too. I'm 0-2, but I'm so damn close.
So close.
The Jags almost pulled it off yesterday.
So close. Hey, let's go to the Jags real quick.
Yes.
The Jaguars were releasing Leonard Fournette. Still head-scratching.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. But I don't know what was going on there internally. But just the way that Fournette ran yesterday, and again, he's on our show tomorrow, and I know he's going to want to turn the page.
Sure.
As well he should, because he was dynamite, and I think he's taking the position from Ronald Jones.
Looks like it.
And they're going to need him. As Brady, as the injuries on his Godwin just cleared the concussion protocol today.
Yeah,
play week three. Brady had a good first half, second half, not so much. Fournette, boy, do they need that. They need him to start becoming the bell cow there. So, yes, you could say that it's head scratching. I don't know what was going on internally. The head scratcher there was Doug Marrone saying that they wanted to go at the running back. It gives them the best chance to win. That one, I don't know. All I know is that Fournette doesn't look like he's regressing in year five, like, say, a quarterback in Philadelphia. So.
All right, let's go to Pittsburgh. The Steelers are the most complete team in the AFC.
Oh, you're going complete. No. The most complete team in the American Football Conference is the team that I say is going to the Super Bowl from the American Football Conference. That's the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, God. Offense, defense, special teams. And this is the thing I just love about them, man. Everybody go to the Daniel Jeremiah's Twitter feed at Move the Sticks. He took a screen grab of the unbalanced line that they came up with on 4th and 1 where they direct snapped it to Mark Ingram to try and wrap the game up. Only needed his 1 yard, and Ingram hit his head on the goalpost because they had two huge-ass human beings on the left side of the line, and they just lined it up, and they put Lamar out wide, and they run Mark Ingram. And the Baltimore Ravens are the kings of, and this is why maybe people don't pay it that much attention, because there's Lamar, right? And everybody knows Lamar and has Lamar in their fantasy. And then the other guys are all hit and miss in fantasy. And the reason why is because it seems like they have 19 eligible receivers on their roster. 15 fullbacks, 14 tight ends, a bunch of wide receivers. I mean, that is something else, how they can come at you with anybody and also turn you over on defense, and then the best kicker and punter in the league, I think. That's complete. But the Steelers have a very nice defense that looks championship quality.
Very nice. Solided them.
No, I didn't. Yeah, you're right. Thank you for calling me out on that. They have a championship quality defense.
All right. Okay.
Let me upgrade them from very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Which is, you're right, solid plus. Very nice is solid. Or was that solid minus?
Solid.
Is it solid minus?
You like supersized solid.
Okay.
It was weird.
All right. Championship quality, but Roethlisberger, the Big Ben that we've expected, is back. I told you, I think the Steelers are contenders. But you want to talk about complete kicking, too? The Ravens are. And Baltimore's next game. Home for Kansas City,
Monday night
football, week three finale. You think we'll be setting the table for that one week from today? What do you think? You got one more for me over there?
Yeah, one more. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers, guys. The Green Bay Packers, best team in the NFC.
Mm. Well, it ain't Dallas.
Got to get that dub, though.
See what the Saints looked like tonight, minus Michael Thomas in Las Vegas. Rich Eisen show favorite Aaron Jones went off yesterday.
Sure did.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers, MVP, sleeper.
That
right
defense
now?
Is pretty damn good, too.
Does the rub count for Aaron Jones? Wasn't he on last week?
Oh, yeah.
Bump. The Eisen bump?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So, yes.
He had to be, I have him in fantasy. Aaron Jones got busy. That's because of you.
We had him on after the week one win, didn't we?
I believe it was either last week or the previous week.
I think
it
was
still
last
counts.
Week. I think you're right.
Yeah,
this week.
Yeah, we'll take credit.
Take that, Rich.
Let's get that bump.
Run with that, baby.
Let's get that bump.
Yeah, man, how do you not say that? I mean, I did go higher register. I got to go higher register just because, I don't know. I mean,
that's two division beatdowns, though.
I know, man. Well, they're the best team in the NFC North.
Oh, yeah.
And they're averaging 40 points a game.
Please allow me that mulligan. Can we forget I said the Vikings were winning that division? Please, I'm begging you.
Yeah, I did.
I'm begging you, because the Bears are 2-0, and even Matt Nagy's saying we got a long way to go. He knows
it. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Oh, boy.
Chargers should stick with Herbert.
Oh, that's a great overreaction Monday. I don't know. The kid looked like
he basically beat the Chiefs yesterday.
It's Tyrod's job, said Anthony Lynn, as he had chest pains prior to the game.
Yeah. Went to the hospital afterwards.
The kid looked like he had been playing for years.
He was ready.
Looked good.
He was ready.
You knew the minute the Chargers didn't score a touchdown and settled for a field goal from first and goal from inside the 10, that game was over. It was a wrap. Yeah. You knew it. And then Harrison Butker, the butt kicker, winning the game with 180 yards of combined field goal. A 53-yarder that's good, but it's waved off because they have a false start. Move it 5 yards back. Now a 58-yarder that was good from 10 yards further away, but they got iced, and then he tried it, and then he did it again.
Pretty impressive.
Oh, my gosh. 169
yards worth of field goals right
combined.
There.
844-204-RICH, we'll take your calls. We're going to take Steve Keim's call first. He's the general manager of the 2-0 Arizona Cardinals. Then Michael Irvin, who could go 16-0 in his picks this week.
Ooh.
He'll join us in hour number two, and you at 844-204-RICH.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah!
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.